To accept something is not to agree with it. It is simply to embrace it, whether you agree with it or not.
Yes, I could see that Jerry was accepting and blessing the experience he was having.
You give something your blessing when you give it your best energies, your highest thoughts.
That's why I think immediately of Jerry whenever I hear about the five attitudes of God. He's a person who practices those attitudes consistently. People are always asking me how my life has changed since my books have come out. Meeting and becoming friends with people like Jerry Jampolsky is one change that has blessed me deeply. Connecting and developing personal relationships with many people who I have personally admired through the years has been one of the most instructive and humbling outcomes of having produced the Conversations with God trilogy. I have seen in these extraordinary people what I have yet to master, and they have inspired me. There have been other changes, of course, and the most important of these is in my relationship with God. I now have a personal relationship with God, and that has resulted in an experience of continued well-being, of quiet empowerment, of personal growth and expansion, of deeply enriching inspiration, and of sure and certain love. As a result of this, every other aspect of my life has changed as well. Everything about the way I hold the experience of relationship is different, and my personal relationships are reflecting that. My personal interactions with others have become joyful and satisfying. As for life partnership, I am at this writing in the fifth year of my marriage to Nancy, and ours has been almost a fairy tale romance. It was wonderful at the beginning, and it's become even more wonderful with every passing day. That doesn't mean it's guaranteed to last forever in its present form. I'm not going to predict that, because I'm not going to put that kind of pressure on either Nancy or myself. But I believe that even if the form of our relationship should ever change, it will always remain wonderfully honest, caring, compassionate, and loving. Not only have my relationships improved, and thus my emotional health, but so too has my physical health. I am now in better condition than I was 10 years ago, and feeling enlivened and energized. Again, I'm not going to predict that it will always stay that way, because I'm not going to put that kind of pressure on myself, but I can tell you that even if my health does change, my inner peacefulness and deep joy will not, for I have seen the perfection of my life, and I no longer question outcomes, nor struggle against them. My understanding of abundance has also shifted, and I now experience a world without lack or limitation. While I know that this is not the experience of the majority of my fellow humans, I work consciously every day to help others change their experience. And I share my abundance freely, supporting causes and projects and people with whom I am in agreement, as another means of expressing and experiencing and recreating who I am. And yes, I have been inspired by the many wonderful teachers and visionaries I've come to know on a personal level. I've learned from them what makes human beings stand out, what lifts them above the crowd. This is not about star worship or name-dropping, because I'm clear that what lifts these remarkable individuals can lift us as well. This is such a special gift to give to another. I only hope that I can always provide such safety in my own space with everyone I touch. I have had it modeled for me now by many masters. I just wish I could have met these wonderful people a few years earlier.
Everything is perfect. You met them at just the right time.
Yes, but a few years earlier, and I could have learned what their lives have taught me before I did so much damage to others.
You've done no damage to others any more than others have done damage to you. Have you not had people you've imagined to be villains in your life?
Well, maybe one or two.
And have you been irrevocably damaged by them?
No, I guess not.
You guess not?
You're sounding like Shirley.
Beat sounding like George Burns.
Oh, cute.
The point is, you have not been damaged by others in your life who did what you wish they had not done, or who didn't do what you wish they had. I tell you this, again, I have sent you nothing but angels. These people all brought you gifts, wonderful gifts, designed to help you remember who you really are. And you have done the same for others. And when you all get through with this grand adventure, you will see that clearly. And you will thank each other. I tell you, the day will come when you will review your life and be thankful for every minute of it. Every hurt, every sorrow, every joy, every celebration, every moment of your life will be a treasure to you, for you will see the utter perfection of the design. You will stand back from the weaving and see the tapestry, and you will weep at the beauty of it.
So love each other, every other. all others, even those you have called your persecutors, even those you have cursed as enemies.
Love each other and love yourself, for God's sake. Love yourself. I mean that literally. Love yourself, for God's sake.
That's sometimes been very hard to do, especially when I think about how I've been in the past. I wasn't a very nice person during most of my life, you know. I spent 30 years, my 20s, 30s, and 40s, being an utter...
Don't say it. Don't indict yourself that way. You are not the worst person who ever walked the face of the earth. You are not the devil incarnate. You were and are a human being, making mistakes, trying to find your way back home. You were confused. You did what you did because you were confused. You were lost. You were lost, and now you are found. Do not lose yourself again, this time in the labyrinth of your own self-pity, in the maze of your own guilt. Rather, call yourself forth in the next grandest version of the greatest vision ever you held about who you are. Tell your story, yes, but do not be your story. Your story is like everyone's life story. It is just who you thought you were. It's not who you really are. If you use it to remember who you really are, you will have used it wisely. You will have used it exactly as it was intended to be used.
So tell your story, and let us see what else you have remembered as a result of it, and what there is for all people to remember.
Well, maybe I wasn't an utter whatever, but I certainly wasn't very good at making people feel safe. Even in the early 80s, when I thought I'd learned a little about personal growth, I wasn't applying what I was learning. I'd married again, left Terry Colwhitaker Ministries, and moved away from the hubbub of San Diego to the tiny town of Klickitat, Washington. But life didn't work out there very well either, largely because I was simply not very safe to be around. I was selfish and manipulated every moment and person that I could in order to get what I wanted. Not much changed when I moved to Portland, Oregon, hoping to get a fresh start. Instead of improving, my life went from complicated to more complicated, the crushing blow being a huge fire in the apartment house where I was living with my wife, destroying just about everything we owned. But I hadn't hit rock bottom yet. I blew my marriage apart, then formed other relationships, blew them apart. I was struggling like a drowning man trying to stay afloat, nearly taking everyone around me down with me. The beginning. I learned in that park about loyalty and honesty and authenticity and trust, and about simplicity and sharing and surviving. I learned about never resigning myself to defeat, but accepting and being grateful for what is true right here, right now. So it isn't just from movie stars and famous authors that I've learned. It's from homeless people who befriended me, and from people I see every day, people I encounter as I go through life, the mailman, the grocery clerk, the lady at the dry cleaners.
All have something to teach you, something to bring you as a gift. And here is a great secret. Every one of them came to receive a gift from you as well.
What is the gift you have given them? And if you have, in your confusion, done what you imagine to have hurt them, do not assume that this is not, too, a gift. It may have been a great treasure, as was your time in the park.
Have you not learned from your greatest hurts, sometimes even more than from your greatest pleasures? Who, then, is the villain? And who is the victim in your life? You will have reached real mastery when you can come to clarity about this before, rather than after the outcome of an experience is known to you.
Your time of destitution and desolation taught you that your life is never over. Never, ever, ever think that your life is over. But know always that each day, each hour, each moment is another beginning, another opportunity, another chance to recreate yourself anew.
Even if you do this at the last possible moment, at the moment of your death, you will have justified your entire experience and glorified it before God.
Even if you are a hardened criminal, a murderer living on death row, or walking to your execution, this will nonetheless be true.
You must know this.
You must trust it.
I would not tell it to you were it not so.
That's the most hopeful thing I ever heard. It means that all of us, even the worst of us, have a home in your heart if you'll just claim it. That must be what it means to have a friendship with God. And when I began this book, I said I hoped to focus on two things: how to turn a conversation with God into a real working friendship, and how to use that friendship to apply the wisdom of conversations with God to day-to-day life.
And now you are learning what I said to you before, that your relationship with God is no different from your relationship with each other. As in your relationships with other humans, you begin with a conversation. The conversation goes well, you develop a friendship. The friendship goes well, you experience true oneness. This is what all souls desire with each other. It is what all souls seek with me. The idea behind this book was to show you how to develop that friendship once you've had the conversation. You've had the conversation in three books that preceded this. Now it is time to have a friendship. I'm sorry to say that many people, however, will not take the first step in their relationship with me. They find it impossible to believe that I would have a real conversation with them. And so they limit their experience of me to one-way interactions, what most would call prayer. They talk to me, but not with me. Some of those who talk to me have a high level of faith that I am hearing their words. Yet even they do not expect to hear mine. So they look for signs. They say, God, give me a sign. Yeah, when I give them a sign in the most common way that they can think of, by using the very language which they speak, they deny me. And I tell you this, some of you will yet deny me. Not only will you deny that this is a sign, you will deny that receiving such a sign is even possible. Yet I tell you this, nothing is impossible in God's world. I have not stopped talking directly with you, and I never will. You may not always hear clearly or interpret with complete accuracy what I have to say, but as long as you try, as long as you keep the dialogue open, you give our friendship a chance. And as long as you give God a chance, you will never be alone, never face any important question by yourself, never be without an instant resource in a time of need, and yes, always have a home in my heart. This is what it means to have a friendship with God.
And that friendship is open to everyone?
Everyone.
Regardless of their beliefs? Regardless of their religion?
Regardless of their beliefs, regardless of their religion.
Or lack of religion?
Or lack of religion.
Anybody can have a friendship with God at any time, is that right?
You all do have a friendship with God. Some of you just don't know it. As I have already said.
Yes, I know. We're repeating ourselves. But I want to make sure, I really just want to make absolutely certain that I get this right. You see, you just talked about how we don't always interpret everything completely accurately, and this is one thing I want to get as accurately as I can. I want there to be no mistake about this. Now, you're saying that there's no right way to God?
That is what I am saying exactly, precisely, unequivocally. There are 1,000 paths to God, and every one gets you there.
So we can, at last, bring an end to better about God. We can stop saying that ours is the better God.
Yes, you can. But will you? That's the question. It will require you to give up your ideas of superiority. And that is the most seductive idea human beings ever had. It has seduced the entire human race. It has justified the wholesale slaughter of members of your own species and every other species of sentient beings on your planet. This one single thought, this one idea that you have, that you are somehow better than someone else, has caused all the heartache, all the suffering, all the cruelty, all the inhumanity that you have ever inflicted upon each other.
Yes, you've made this point before.
And like many other points I've made with you in this dialogue, I will make it over and over again. This point in particular, I want to emphasize now, in such stark terms, in such clear and specific language, that you can never forget it. For throughout the ages, humans have asked me, what is the way to a more perfect world? How can we live together in harmony? What is the secret to lasting peace? And throughout the ages, I've given you the answer. Throughout the ages, I have brought you this wisdom 1,000 times in 1,000 ways, yet you have not listened. Now I declare it over and over here in this dialogue, in language so plain that you can never again ignore it, but will understand it completely. and internalize it so deeply that you will hereafter and forevermore reject any suggestion that one group of you is somehow better than another group of you.